What's up there, good peoples? Cameron Norfleet, Century 21 All Points Realty, and I want to thank you again for stopping by the Cameron Norfleet Podcast. Thank you for taking the time out of your day to hear what I've got to say. If you haven't done so already, please be sure to subscribe to this podcast so that you get updates when we are, or when I am, putting out more episodes. You definitely don't want to miss out on a lot of the content that I'm putting out. I feel like I'm putting out pretty decent content. What do you think? Actually, I'd like to know what you think. If you would leave a rating and or a review on the platform that you're listening to this on, whether that is Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever else you may be listening to this, it would be greatly appreciated if you can leave a rating and or a review just to let the platform know that this is quality content going forth. That'll be greatly appreciated. Definitely appreciate that. Also, be sure to follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, where I put out a lot of great content, local content, just so you can know what's going on in the Connecticut real estate market. I've actually got some pretty exciting things coming up relatively soon. I'm looking to do some live streams with some movers and shakers. And when I say live stream, I mean whereas you would actually be able to pose your questions to them, whether they be investors or local business people and so on and so forth. So if you are considering getting into real estate investing, or if you are considering getting into business of any sort, it would definitely be in your best interest for you to be on my social media platforms. Specifically when it comes to that, that would be YouTube and Facebook. All right. I'll be having more information coming out about that soon. But I'm really excited about this. Obviously, if you're also in business currently, that's something that you want to pay attention to. But again, I'll be putting out more information about that relatively soon. Today we have Robert Weinberg. Robert Weinberg is from Benchmark Mortgage. He's a mortgage professional here in the state of Connecticut. I definitely recommend that for any of you out there that are listening to this, and if you hear what he has to say, you like what he has to say, give him a call. His information is at the end of the podcast. So if you're looking for a mortgage pre-approval, or if you're looking for a refinance on a current mortgage, or even just want to shoot him a question in regards to what we're covering here in today's podcast or any other topic, definitely feel free to contact him to ask him any questions that you might have. Today we're talking about the mortgage forbearances that will definitely be coming in the next few months. As I'm sure everyone is aware, with the whole COVID-19 epidemic, tenants are protected by the state and the federal government as regards to evictions, and landlords have some protections, but definitely not as much as tenants. Now, I'm not imposing my opinion on this. I know everyone has their own opinion as to whether this is right or this is wrong. I guess I'll throw a little bit of my opinion out there. I do think that tenants should have some protections. I certainly do believe that, because I do believe that there are some landlords that can be ruthless. Tenants lost their job due to the whole COVID-19 thing, and next thing you know, they'd be on the street. So I do believe that tenants should have some protections, but I do believe that landlords should have some protections as well. I'll leave it at that. But Robert Weinberg here, once again from Benchmark Mortgage, he's here to discuss mortgage forbearances, in which is programs that your bank may have available to you if you get into a situation where you cannot pay your mortgage, whether that be due to your tenants not paying, or whether that be to job loss on an owner-occupied property. Just some things that you'll definitely want to look out for if you decide to go down that route, or if you're forced to go down that route, some things that you want to look out for. So some really great information here. Even if this doesn't apply to you, some great information to have, possibly share with your loved ones. Just some really good information all around. So without further ado, let's get into the interview. Robert Weinberg, how are you today?
Good, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, I saw that you had posted a video recently talking about the mortgage forbearance programs that are out there right now, and you said that there's basically some negative things that can come out of that. Can you explain a little bit about that? Actually, you know what? Before we even go into that, let's talk a little bit about who you are and you know, where you're from and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I'm Robert Weinberg. I'm the branch manager of Benchmark Mortgage, and our office is on Main Street in Woodbury, Connecticut, servicing the entire states of Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Florida. I've been in the business a little over 17 years now, closed thousands of loans in my career, and you know, just trying to put information and content out there that maybe is different than what you see in the news or the media about the real deal when it comes to some of these programs.
Right. Right, for sure. How long have you been in the business, in the mortgage business?
So December was 17 years, so a little over now, so almost 17 and a half years.
Cool. And I know you do a lot of business, right?
Yeah, I mean, I had a record year in 2019 and 2020, awesome. Just right out of the gates. I mean, had a record month, all-time record month of volume and closings in March. And April is, you know, floodgates are open, rates are low. A lot of people out there, a lot of serious buyers, and a lot of people, you know, that have jobs and have income, and they're trying to take advantage of restructuring their debt, you know, restructuring their mortgage, lowering their payments, that sort of thing. So get it while the getting's good.
Absolutely. And you obviously service people all around Connecticut. Where else do you service people at outside of Connecticut?
Yeah, so I'm from Florida, grew up in Florida. That's where I started, and I actually got in the mortgage industry last couple years of college. A friend of mine opened a mortgage company and started working for him. So I have roots down in Florida, do a lot of business down in the whole state of Florida. And then because of the geographic proximity to Connecticut, I do a lot of loans also in Massachusetts. So Florida, Massachusetts, and Connecticut, I service the whole states. And because of technology, you know, we don't skip a beat.
Absolutely. Nice. Awesome. So yeah, listen, so please tell us a little bit about this this mortgage forbearance program that what we're seeing a lot in the news media about, I don't think we're hearing everything. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, you're definitely not hearing everything. I mean, right. One of the big things is that there's a few different ways that forbearances get handled. We'll talk about that in a minute, but sure. Every servicer is going to have their own protocol. They're going to have their own criteria, you know, they're going to have their own way that they handle it. So you can't just look at a newscaster or someone on the internet and say, okay, this is the way it is. Now, one thing that has happened is because of this CARE Act, I believe is the name of the law they put out or the name of the bill that they put out saying that these forbearance programs had to be offered. So the CARE Act basically says on the honor system, you know, anybody that says they've been affected can waive or defer or however you want to look at it, not make their mortgage payment for a couple months. I've heard, you know, 1 to 3 months on the low end. I've heard 6 months. And then I've heard, you know, all the way up to 12 months. Right. So, you know, they make it sound like on the news and in the media and on the internet that, hey, you can just not make these payments. And it's, you know, this is because of the COVID-19 situation and the epidemic going on. And there's no repercussions. You know, it's a great news story. It's, hey, we're giving back. Everyone that's having financial problems, you don't have to make your mortgage payment, but you know, that's not true. So, you know, let's talk about the different ways that they're handling it, which is, you know, a normal forbearance. I've been doing this so long. I've seen forbearances that are not in times like this when it's just, hey, I lost my job. I can't make my payment. You know, whatever the scenario may be. So with that being said, you know, the normal way is that if you don't have a mortgage payment for a couple months, so you go to your servicer, you fill out some paperwork. And in this case, they're doing almost everything electronically and on the honor system. You say, hey, I can't make my payment. And then they say, all right, don't make it for a couple months. But people just get so excited about that. I don't have to make my mortgage for a few months. They don't realize the way that these payments get handled. So the normal protocol on a forbearance is that at the end of the forbearance period, whether that be 3 months, whether that be 6 months or 12 months, whatever the timeline is, at the end of that timeline, you are obligated to pay the entire amount. Okay.
The entire amount.
I'm talking about if you have a $2,000 a month mortgage payment and you have a 3 month forbearance, that's $6,000. So in month four, you have to pay $8,000 because you have to pay the 3 months you missed plus the month that is now due. So you're talking about, I think, in most areas, in Connecticut and probably across the country on an owner-occupied at least property, you know, $1,500 to $2,000 a month, you know, PITI is a normal mortgage payment. We're not talking about, you know, $5,000 or something ridiculous. We're talking about realistic numbers here. So if you go and then they ask you for this $8,000 in this example, and you can't make it, then you're forced to do a loan modification. Okay. And I talk a lot in my videos about repercussions of loan modifications. I talk about pitfalls of loan modifications. That's a whole other video. That's a whole other segment, you know, for another time. But the point is, a loan modification is not a good thing. Okay. It's negative on your credit. It's negative when it's looked at by underwriters. It's negative all the way around. So a lot of people are just going to take this forbearance plan, think they're fine, and then 3 to 6 to 9, 12 months later, they're going to go, when the forbearance is done, they're going to get something in the mail saying, hey, you owe us 4 months of mortgage, 6 months of mortgage, whatever, all at once. And people are going to panic, and they're going to then go and say, well, what can you do for me? And then they're forced into this loan modification. Now, that is the majority of the forbearances that I've seen in the past. And right now, the ones that have come out and said, you know, how they're handling it, the majority are what we're talking about. Okay, so
that was going to be my next question. Yeah, so this is going to, this is not just how it has been handled, but this is for sure how they are.
As of right now, this is the way that, you know, many servicers have said that they're going to handle it. Again, this is moving so rapidly. Who knows if things will change, something else gets passed, or there's modifications made to these, you know, the verbiage or how they're handling it. But this is what you want to be prepared for. So as a consumer, as a homeowner, if you're looking at it as, I can't pay my $2,000 a month mortgage this month. Well, if you can't pay $2,000 this month, even if you go back to work next month, are you going to be able to pay 3, 6, 9, 12 months of mortgage payments at once? The answer is, unless you have a rich relative or hit the lotto, you're not going to be able to do it. Okay. So you're going to have to, you're going to be forced into doing this loan modification. You're not going to have a choice. And then you're going to have these repercussions of the loan modification on your credit. If you want to get a new mortgage, if you want to take advantage of these lower rates or the equity in your home, you're not going to be able to. If you want to go buy another property in a year, a couple years, whatever, this is going to show up on there. Again, not a ton of guidance, but I've done mortgages and seen a lot of people that have done loan modifications over the years. And it's not a good thing. Okay, there's extra paperwork and there's extra negative remarks on your credit that are going to be there. And there's extra questions from the underwriters in regards to this. People don't get loan modifications because they're doing well. Okay, there's a problem when you get a modification, financial problem. So you need to realize that. Now, the ideal situation is that they would just take the payments that you owe and they just put it on the back of the mortgage. So if you owe $100,000, and you know you haven't made payments for 3 months, they take those payments and put them on the back. So instead of owing $100,000, maybe they bump it up and now you owe like $106,000 or $108,000 or whatever it may be. So that's the ideal way. And I think most consumers, that's what they think. When they think loan modification, they're like, oh, okay, well, yeah, they're just going to add it to the back of my loan, no big deal. And I would agree that like that is not as big of an issue. If your servicer is doing that type of plan and they're just putting it on the back of the loan and you have paperwork and you've read the fine print and that is what's going on and your payment will not be affected, then that to me is a good scenario. That's the best scenario.
But is this something that you can request? Is it negotiable? So in other words, if they said that you are going to have to pay that $8,000, you know, in 4 months, is that negotiable? Okay, can you ask, you know, hey, listen, can we just tack it on to the end of my mortgage payments? How does that
generally work? You're not really in a situation of being able to negotiate if you're asking for a forbearance, okay? Right. So, no, my experience is you can't negotiate. I mean, again, maybe a certain mortgage servicer has more than one program, but from what I've seen and the guidance I've gotten is that they've got a forbearance program. That's what you're applying for, and this is the way it's handled. And I've had some people tell me that when they call and speak with someone at a mortgage company or on online chat or however they communicate, that these customer service representatives, they're inundated. They don't really know what's going on. They're making their hourly wage. They're trying to feed their families just like you. And they don't have all the details either. So they're just telling you what they know and just trying to get another call out of the queue so they can take another, and they're blowing it off, so to speak. So they're not giving you all the information. So they may say to you, oh yeah, don't worry about it. You know, when your forbearance is up, we'll negotiate, we'll talk to you then, okay? At that point, that's months from now. And again, you gotta read the fine print. Like any contract, just like people that signed, you know, modifications back in the old days, you know, that were facing foreclosure and all that and just signed away just because they didn't want to lose their house. It's the same thing. You got to read what you're signing because it will come back to haunt you. These are legal contracts. I'm not saying you have to bring it to an attorney, but you want to really look at this with care. So again, in an ideal scenario, that's what's going on, but that's the minority. Now, the third and final way that I want to mention to the listeners here about the forbearance is what's what I call like an amortized forbearance. So basically what they do is same idea. You do, you know, a couple months, no mortgage payment. And then at the end of the forbearance period, they're going to take your mortgage payment. Let's say you don't have, you know, the 3 months, $2,000 a month. They're going to take that money and they're going to amortize it over the course of an entire 12-month period. Okay. So I'm just getting a calculator here, and let's say $6,000, 3 months divided by 12, that's $500 a month that they're going to add to your mortgage. So if your mortgage payment was $2,000, you know, you're out of work, you have a couple months, no payment. And then a couple months from now, you go back to work, you know, thank goodness you get your job back or an equivalent job. Right. If you couldn't pay $2,000 a month after a couple months not working, are you going to be able to pay $2,500 a month? Okay.
Not likely you're behind on other bills as well.
Exactly. Not $2,500 a month one time, $2,500 a month for the next 12 months. So in a lot of these situations, what ends up happening is people go behind on their forbearance negotiation or whatever you want to call it, their payment plan for the forbearance. They end up going behind within a few months because their mortgage payment can go up 20 to 30%, you know, at one time. So, you know, from a credit standpoint, I guess that would probably be a little bit of a better scenario than a modification if you can swing it, but you're still going to have the repercussions of having a forbearance done. You know, if you try to refinance or sell your property during the time that you're making those amortized payments back, it's going to show up on the payoff. So if you're trying to get a new loan, the underwriter is going to see it. And as I said earlier, this is a negative thing. Okay. So don't think that they're just not going to find out.
Right. Typically, and that's for the modification, right? Does a forbearance also show up on the credit report?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's right. The thing is that in a normal circumstance, it does. I know there's some servicers that have said, we're not going to report it, but even if they don't report it, it's not like nobody's going to find out because if look at your credit report and there's a bunch of payments, maybe it shows that you've paid perfectly, but there's some dashes or some skip payments or there's something that doesn't add up. Well, the normal protocol in the mortgage industry is we have to get a payment history. Okay. And typically the payment history is going to go back anywhere from 12 to 24 months, depending on the type of loan that you're applying for. But if we go back and do a payment history for you and it shows that you've had some skipped or missed payments or whatever you want to call it as a result of the forbearance, you can call it what you want.
Right.
To a mortgage underwriter, it's a derogatory. You didn't pay your payment. Doesn't matter if it's on your credit or not. You could have an 800 credit score, irrelevant. If you didn't pay your mortgage any time at all over the last 12 to 24 months, it's going to be an issue. Okay, right. So just be aware. I'm not telling you this to scare you because I know some people, you may not have a choice.
It's true.
Okay, right. You may not have a choice but to do a forbearance. And I get it if you don't have a choice. But understand the repercussions. Don't be the guy that tells their loan officer a year from now, hey, I was told this wasn't going to affect me. Hey, I didn't know that this was going to be an issue. I was, you know, everyone said that this was fine because it was a result of this, you know, this CARE Act, and they're not going to report it because that's only one part of it. You know, it's only one thing is the credit reporting. You got to look at the other side of it too. There's a lot more than just your credit report that goes into a mortgage. And I've had clients whose mortgage don't show up at all on their credit because of, you know, other issues or whatever the case may be. We still have to go back and show that payment history. So if you know, you're talking about not permanently, but be prepared that if you do one of these forbearance and or loan modifications, that you're not going to be able to get a mortgage as easily for at least 12 to 24 months. Okay. Right. 5 years from now, it probably won't be a problem. 3 or 4 years from now, it probably won't be an issue. But be prepared that in the near term, right now, while the rates are at these historical lows, the housing market, you know, was doing so, so well before all this, and I believe will continue. So there's a lot of opportunity, you know, with that. You don't want to be shut out because, oh, I didn't want to make my payment for a couple months. So the big message that I want to give out to your subscribers, the big thing that I want to talk about and make mention of that nobody's talking about is that this is, they may think, they may tell you, and you may think that this is a free-for-all for everyone. It's not. This is only for the absolute last resort. This is only for the people that have gone and have no other choice. Like, if you're about to go behind on your mortgage and you have no choice, take advantage of these programs, okay? For sure. Know the repercussions, but take advantage, because doing this and being proactive before you go late is better than trying to stumble and do this, and then 3 months from now, your mortgage is 3 months behind. Now you don't even qualify, and you have to do a loan modification. Mm-hmm. At least this gives you that interim step to take a breather and get back to work. The issue becomes all the people that are just going to take advantage, the people that either they have money saved or they're continuing to make money, or their spouse, you know, has income coming in. If they don't, and they can make the payment, and they just choose not to. And that's where, if a lot of people do that, okay, and I've had people tell me that they're going to do that. So if that becomes a widespread issue, then mortgages are going to be way more expensive. There's going to be less programs available. The credit scoring requirements are going to continue to go up. And they've already tightened up in the last couple of weeks. That's going to continue. It's supposed to be temporary, okay? Right. But is temporary a couple of months, or does temporary turn into continuation for years and years? Well, you know, the more people that take advantage of this scenario, the worse that the mortgage industry is going to be affected. And consumers as a whole, interest rates, points, you know, fees that you have to pay when you get a mortgage, it's all going to get more expensive. So I'm hoping, for the sake of the housing market, for the sake of homeowners, for the sake of the entire mortgage and housing industry, I'm hoping that the people that take advantage of this are the ones that really need it, and not just the ones looking for a handout.
Right, right, for sure. So really, this would affect, I mean, just pretty much anybody that has to go into a forbearance, as well as anyone that needs a loan modification. So I mean, really, the advice would be, if at all possible, pay your bills. If you have any money in savings, you know, even though you may have lost your job or what have you, you know, to suck it up and pay those bills, obviously, if you can. But this will affect, as far as mortgage purposes, this will affect those that are, you know, investors that, you know, would like to pick up more properties in the next 12 to 24 months or so. You know, because here's the thing, is that the federal government is giving out protections to tenants, whereas, you know, if they cannot pay their rent, they cannot be evicted, you can't charge late fees and so on and so forth, and which is great. You know, I have absolutely no problem with that. But caution to the landlord, because, you know, if in turn that causes you to be late, granted, you may not lose your property to foreclosure right now, okay? But, you know, again, if you can pay your mortgage, for sure, pay your mortgage. Aside from investors, you know, anyone that's, you know, looking to move up or move down, you know, by selling your house now, you know, whether you want to, you know, if you're trying to move up or move down, larger house or smaller house, this could certainly affect you, you know, because you may be going for another mortgage within the next, you know, 12 to 24 months. So, any advice that you may have, aside from, you know, like I said, try to pay your bills if you can, any advice to someone that has to go down that path of forbearance and possible, forbearance or possible, loan modification?
Well, yeah. So there's two tiers of advice I have. I guess the first one is to the people that you're speaking out to, the ones that have no choice and have to go this route. Mm-hmm. Very simple advice. Know what you're getting into. Read the fine print. The repercussions. Right. Understand, accept it, and move forward, okay? If you and your spouse, or you by yourself, depending on who you live with, have no way to make your mortgage payment and you lost your job or had a huge reduction in income, you need to have a roof over your head. This is a viable option, but don't just sign the paperwork like everyone or click a button online and just call it a day. No, you know, the most important factor when it comes to getting a loan modification is, or excuse me, when it comes to getting a forbearance is going to be where are the deferred payments going to go? That's the question you need to answer. Are they going to go immediately to be paid? Are they going to be amortized over a period of time like we just gave an example of? Or ideally, are they going to be moved to the back of the mortgage, paid upon refinancing or the sale of the home? Okay. You need to know the answer to that question. If you don't know the answer to that question, do not sign the paperwork. Get that answer so you're aware. Now,
you get it in writing.
Exactly. Get it in writing. Make sure that you have everything in writing so there's no gray area. But taking it a step further, you know, I'm also a financial coach through the Ramsey Solutions organization and Dave Ramsey. Something we talk a lot about there is, you know, having a 6-month emergency fund. Well, first of all, having a starter emergency fund, which is $1,000. And then having a 6-month emergency fund. So here's the thing is that over the last several years, while the economy's been booming up until recently, people have been doing well, equity's been building in people's properties. So, you know, that's the time when you should have, okay, hindsight 2020, you should have put these emergency funds in play, because I'm sitting there myself with a lot of money in liquid savings. Mm-hmm. And for years I've been like, well, why do I need this? You know, things are good, things are happening. Now, all of a sudden, in the last 60 days, since this has come out, all the people that took that advice, have the emergency fund, have 6 to 12 months in liquid cash, they're the ones right now that don't even, they're not batting an eye, they're not worried. They have plenty of money available to make mortgage payments. This, my friends, is what we have been saving for. Absolutely. This is the predicament that does come about every 5 to 10 years that we've been waiting. This is why you want to have that liquid cash. This is why you want to have very low debt levels and emergency funds available, whether it's a couple $1,000 or a fully funded emergency fund. Because even if you only had 3 months of your savings in place, 3 months of your monthly bill in savings, you'd be able to get through this, okay? I'm a very optimistic person right now. I see the statistics. I see that we are, you know, God willing, getting out of this. We're on the back end of this epidemic. Okay? So being said, there's going to be huge opportunities coming up for real estate, huge opportunities for investors in both the stock market as well as in the real estate market. Are you positioned to take advantage, or are you somebody that's sitting back, that's being reactive, that's waiting and trying to do these things just to pay their bills? You want to be in a good financial position so that you don't have to get caught up. Because I can guarantee you this, if you're somebody that does one of these forbearances and you're having to go through these decisions on what bills to pay and how to get out of it, you're not somebody that's going to be taking advantage of buying stocks at historical low levels over the last couple of years. You're not somebody that's going to be able to buy a home that was $100,000 that now you can get for $60,000 or $70,000 because of the, you know, the lack of buyers in the market because of everything. The real estate investors, the multimillionaire entrepreneurs, the CEOs, the people that have the war chest for times like this, they're going to be the ones that use this to get wealthy. So the advice I have on that end is use this as a learning experience. If this is your first recession, or if this is your first downturn, whatever you want to call it, think back, remember this moment, remember how you felt having these issues. And as soon as you're able to, start getting, beefing up that emergency fund, start beefing up your personal finances. People with no debt right now, do you think they're worried? Okay, if you have no debt, it's all of the things that we are strapped to, the credit card payments, the auto loans, the mortgages, all this debt, it's all going great. But then when you lose your job or have a reduction in income, it all falls apart. Again, this is when you wanna look back and just know that there is a strategy for this whole thing. And it is to have your savings, have your war chest. So look, if this is the first time you're hearing me, if this is the first time you're listening, you know, to me talking about this, this is what I teach my clients every day, okay? And this is something that myself, my clients, my colleagues, this is something we've been preparing for years that nobody knew when or nobody thought we would need it. It's been so long since the last downturn, but we all see in the blink of an eye, everything changed, okay? And the people that were prepared, they're the ones that are now not stressing about money. So if you're on the opposite side and you are worried and you are needing to take advantage of these programs and you are needing to, you know, basically get involved with all these handouts from the government because you have no other choice, remember this moment and use it as a learning experience so that when times are good and you've got the extra cash flow, pay that debt down, get that emergency fund in play. Because it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. This will come again. Okay, we have no idea when. It could be 6 months from now. It could be 6 years from now. It could be 15 years from now. But at some point, you're going to want to have this war chest available. You're going to want to take this personal finance stuff seriously. So use now as that pivot point, as the time in your life that you can say, I never want to feel like that again, and I want to be prepared. You can be. You just have to know the way. So hopefully the information that we're putting out there today gives you some hope. It gives you some optimism for the future, and it helps you so you never have to be in this situation in the future.
For sure. Listen, great, great advice. Great information. I definitely appreciate you taking the time to, you know, to speak to my audience and so on. Thank you for that. So if someone wanted to contact you, whether it be to hear more information about this, to ask questions, or even if they're going to apply for a loan, how would they contact you?
Absolutely. So you can reach out to me via call, text, or on my website. So my direct line to my office is area code 860-413-3938. And you can go on robgw.com. That's robgw.com. That's a direct link to my website. You can also follow me throughout social media at Weinberg Mortgage. That's W-E-I-N-B-E-R-G Mortgage. And on Twitter, it's Weinberg Lending. So feel free to follow me on all my social media channels, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. I put out content with great information, just like we're giving out every single week.
Absolutely.
That'll keep you on the cutting edge of what's going on in real estate finance, in mortgages, in personal finance, and just help you to move ahead to that next level.
For sure. Well, again, Rob, I definitely appreciate you coming out to, or not coming out, but coming on to speak to my audience. All right. Listen, I hope you guys definitely got something out of this. A lot of great information. That's all we got for you for today. As always, thank you for your time. Make it a great day.